Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. We thank God for you. We thank God for you and we thank God for you. And we just bless Him. We bless God. Oh, and we thank Him for all the blessings that He's always looking out for us. He's always looking out for us, even when we can't see for ourselves. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, yeah. We thank Him. We just praise Him today. We praise Him. Yes, we thank Him. And we just give Him praise because He is an almighty God. Oh, He is. He is the God of our lives. He is our friend who sticks closer than a brother, huh? He's our friend. Yeah. In time of trouble, He's our friend. He's someone we can call on. Yes. We just give Him praise and we just thank Him. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God. We thank God for Jesus. Yes, let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us, God. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We give you praise this moment. Yes, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And we thank God. Yes, we thank God. We thank God for His word because we know that His word is truth. His word is truthful. Yeah, His word is righteousness. That's His word. Glory to God. His word is love. Yeah, His word is love. His word is kindness. Oh, yes, yes, yes. His word is when we look out for one another. That's His word. Yeah, that's His word. Sharing and caring and being concerned. Those are His words. Those are His words. Those are His attributes. Yeah, yeah. We see them. We see them. Yeah, and we should be wearing them. We should be wearing those attributes. When we share and we be concerned for one another. We're looking out for each other. Yeah, we're encouraging each other. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, and we just thank God for you again. And we thank God for you. And we bless His name. We know that we have been in a word that we have been expounding on, it's been really a plan. That's what's our word, the plan. Yeah, what is a plan without God? What is a plan without God? A disaster, huh? A failure, huh? What is a plan without God? Yeah. So when we have a plan with God, now let me just state that we have talked about plans all this week, and this is really the last evening that we're going to be talking about a plan. Yeah, we talked about Paul having a plan. Yeah, Paul had a plan. Yeah, this is what we talked about last week when Paul was bitten by the snake. He had a plan. He was on a journey. He had a plan. Yeah, in spite of that incident that took place, Paul had a plan. And we also talked about how Abraham, yeah, when he offered up his son, Isaac, yeah, there was a plan. And we talked about there was a twofold plan because Abraham had a plan that he would return, but God had a plan too that he wanted to know how faithful Abraham was. So he had a plan. God's plan was to elevate Abraham, yeah, to put him on another level, to put him on another plane, huh? Yeah. Yeah, God sends us many times on a test. They're on a test. This is an assignment. Let's see how well we will pass that test. Glory to God. Also, we were talking about David with Goliath, how David had a plan. David's plan was to kill Goliath, but the people felt that David was too too young. Yeah, he was too young to kill Goliath. But David had to convince the people that the plan that he had, he had a hidden weapon. He had a weapon of mass destruction, and it had the name Jesus written all over it, huh? Glory to God. That is what his plan was. David had a plan. Mm-hmm. So here this evening, we're going to continue talking about the plan, and we're going to just add a little substance to our lesson where we're talking about having a covenant agreement in your plan. You see, when you have a covenant in your plan, it's just a mere agreement. We talked about when you have a plan and how you go to the bank if you want to borrow money, how the bank want to know what kind of plan you have, what is your business plan. You know, we talked about that. So here we are talking about, we're going to just implement this, the covenant. The covenant is just an agreement. Mm-hmm. It's when you have a plan. And so the covenant agreement is with God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's with God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it says here, what is a covenant? What is a covenant? A covenant. It's an agreement. It's a written agreement, or it can be an oral agreement between two people, or it could be of a group. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it could be of one institution to another institution. They could have a legal agreement. Different companies can have this type of agreement set up. Yeah, yeah. And they have it written down in black and white, so that way there is some documentation on the detail of that agreement. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So here we see that there are two types of agreements. You have the written agreement, which is something in writing, something black and white, and then you have an oral agreement. Now, to be honest and to be fair, the written agreement is so highly recommended because when you have a written agreement, it is something that you can always refer back to. It's something that you can share. It's something that you have. But an oral agreement is something you just say to, say like you would say, I need you to go do this, and if you do this, I'll do that, and you both agree to doing those things. And so that's just an oral agreement. There's nothing in writing. That you just have that type of understanding of what you have actually stated amongst yourselves. Yeah. Think about it. Think about that. So here we see we're going to move on to Abraham and God. And we're going to just continue into the covenant agreement. The covenant agreement. And it says most agreements have a plan, and they certainly have a purpose. Yes. God and Abraham agreed. Agreement. Their agreement was that Abraham would be the father of many nations. This is in Genesis. He will be the father of many nations. Mm-hmm. And it says here that through him, all nations would be blessed. Mm-hmm. Again, can anybody stand to have a blessing? Certainly, certainly, certainly. Abraham, so he accepted the responsibility of that covenant agreement. See, when you have a covenant, it's an agreement between two people. Or like I said, it could be a corporation, it could be two or more, it could be a group. Abraham had a basic understanding of the covenant, and the covenant determined how Abraham used his for his life. Yeah. How he used it. There's a certain way that you would stay under your agreement. Yeah, yeah. When you're obligating yourself, you're signing your name down on a legal document. You're in an agreement. Husband and wives, when they get married, this is a legal agreement between a man and a woman, okay? People who are in business partners, this is a legal agreement. You know what you have to do. I know what I have to do. It's legal. We file these papers. And who do we file them with? We file them with the courts. But in this covenant agreement that we're talking about, God has it filed in heaven. Glory to God. He files it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go quickly with Hosea and Gomer. And we see that in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, Gomer, the conspicuous woman, she was a harlot. Yeah. She was a whore. Hosea was told by God, listen to this, he was told by God to go and to marry her according to his divine purpose. Now, did you just hear that? I just told you what the agreement was. That was it. Simple as simple. God told Hosea to go and marry this harlot. And once Hosea married her, he was in agreement with her as well. Are you listening to me? And the purpose was to have Hosea marry Gomer, the harlot, and have children of the harlot for the land. For the land commits. For the land. The land of the Israelites. The land had committed sin. Had committed sin and had forsaken God. Yeah. And so we know that in here, Gomer is going to do the same thing to Hosea. She's not going to be faithful, just as God is trying to show the people how they're not faithful to him. He's trying to show us. So I'm going to say us. Because many times we weren't faithful to him. Yeah. So Hosea, he agreed to do this. He agreed. He went into agreement with God. And Gomer went into agreement with Hosea. Of course, she wondered, why did he choose to marry her? Okay. Let's move real quickly into 2 Samuel chapter 12. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan confronts David. He confronts David regarding his relationship with Bathsheba. Yes, Bathsheba and the cover-up, the affair. We see so many cover-ups today, so many affairs, so many sexual encounters that have taken place years ago, and they're coming back to life in front of us today. Secret sins will follow you. Secret sins, people, will follow you no matter where you go. Secret sins. They have to be settled. That once they're settled with God, then they will be settled in the land. They will be, but they must be settled spiritually. And you see, until men can come to an understanding and see that, this is why we see a lot of this is being dug up, yeah, that has been somewhat thought of as being buried, but there was just dirt thrown on top of it. Yeah, yeah. But see, when you actually bury it spiritually with God, oh, it'll be well buried. Yeah, it'll be well buried because you have gone before God and you have repented. You've asked him. You've talked to him. And he heard your cry. So here we see that David had a secret plan to keep on seeing Bathsheba, even though she was married. She was a married woman. Yeah, remember the story. David not going on with his troops, staying behind. He should have went to work, but he didn't. He chose not to, and he looked out the window when he woke up and saw this woman bathing. Yeah, think about it. Think about David, the king. David, who no one ever says, no, you can't have. David, who always felt he was above everyone else. David, who had no idea that he was being subdued spiritually. Yeah, yeah. So, but God said, God sent Nathan. God sent Nathan, yeah. He sent Nathan in the story. He sent Nathan to tell a story to David about the rich man and the poor man. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 5 and 6. And David listened to the story that Nathan told him. Yeah. And Nathan ended, came to a conclusion at the end of the story. Nathan told David that he was that man. Yeah. See, a lot of times when we're in secret sins, we think nobody knows. Remember, we have a greater God who sits high and looks low, who knows everything. He doesn't slumber, nor does he sleep. Glory to God. See, sometimes we make plans that push God. We push God completely, completely out of our plans. We allow flesh, we allow lust, we allow power to take over the plan. And what usually happens? It fails. It fails. It goes nowhere. It fails. Yes, yes. So here we are. We're constantly moving on in the lesson. And we're looking further. And we see a story of a nephew named Jacob and an uncle named Laman. Mm-hmm. In the book of Genesis, chapter 30, verse 25 through 36. Yeah. An uncle, and his name was Laman. Laman was the brother of Abraham. Isn't that something? And he was the uncle of Jacob, the cheater. The cheater was his nephew, Jacob. Laman was Abraham's brother. He looked closely. As we look closely at this story, we see that Jacob had a plan. Jacob had a plan. Yeah, he had a plan. His plan was to work for his uncle, Laman. Mm-hmm. He was going to work for him, and he would purchase a wife. Yeah, his own cousin, his own relative. It was permitted in those days that you could marry in your family. Isn't that something? You could marry your family member. So here we see Jacob had a plan. And the uncle Laman, he had a plan too. Now neither one discussed the other plan. Yeah, let's say the secret plan, because it was understood between Jacob and Laman that Jacob would work, and he would work so many years for his intended to be wife, Rachel. Yeah. But what wasn't discussed was that his uncle was going to let him work for a while because he needed help. He needed somebody to help him without paying them. And he was going to use his nephew. He was going to betray him. Yeah. 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 Think about it. Think about it. So Laman had a plan, and Jacob had a plan. It's just that each one had a different plan. A secret plan. Yeah. As we call it today, it was a secret. He knew what he wanted to do, and Jacob knew what he wanted to do, and the uncle knew what he wanted to do too. Whenever God is not in the plan, there is usually a disaster. Something will not happen. Failure will take place. Failure will ride above. You will be defeated. Yeah. And we see this. We see this today. You know, we see it. It's just like some churches today. Today, God has never visited that church. So in building that church, in having a congregation, the plan that was in place, God was never included. He was never asked to come. He was never invited. So how can we have a place of worship, a place where he would dwell, and we never invited him to come? And then when he would come and he would show up, we shun him out. We push him away. We didn't want that. He's not in the plan. Do we see this today? Yes, we see it. We see this. The question is, where is God? Where is God? Mm-hmm. So in this story, back to Laban and Jacob, they both had a part. They are both a part of the holy, blessed nation. They are. They are part of the blessed nation. Remember, God said that Abraham would be blessed and that he would be a blessing to many nations. So here we see the brother of Abraham and what? Jacob, the grandson. Jacob. Yeah. Jacob. He was a part of that nation as well. Straight from the lineage of Abraham. But neither one was walking in their destiny. Neither one. Because Laban, who was the uncle, and we knew Jacob was the trickster, but we can see what Jacob learned, that how to be a trickster. Because the uncle, he had a plan and he was a trickster. Yes, yes. Be careful. Be careful who you follow. You must be careful. You can't follow everybody. You can't do what everybody do. You can't. Because everybody's not going to do what God would have them to do. Everyone is not going to walk in righteousness. Everyone is not going to be honest. Everyone is not going to be just. See, this is what happens when God is not in the plan. Your operation, you're operating as a one man. You're operating as a one man show, or you're operating as a one woman show. Yeah. Yeah. You're on your own. You're headed to destruction. You headed in a place of disaster. Why? Because God is not. He's not in the plan. You didn't take the time to invite him in. And then when he tried to come in, you shunned him. You shunned him. You pushed him away. Think about what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. How often do we see this? We see it a lot. We see it in the church. God has never come to many churches, many buildings that stand and have steeples. God has never been there. He was never in the plan. And then we wonder, how come the doors close real quick? How come the congregation dwindles? How could that be? And we wonder where God is. Why is God allowing that? God was never in the plan. A compass. What is a compass? A compass. It is used as an instrument for navigations, to navigate. A lot of times we navigate. Oh, we know how to navigate. Yeah, we navigate. We navigate a lot of different things, huh? Yeah, we draw a lot of different things to us and away from us. We are good at navigating. Yeah, it's a diagram, and it's called a compass. It's a rose, shows the directions from north, south, east, and west. It's on the face of a compass. Yeah, a compass. Mm-hmm. Certainly, if we would allow Jesus to be our compass, things would be much better. Things would be much, much easier for us to be able to navigate. We wouldn't have to work so hard. We wouldn't have to get lost. We wouldn't have to get off track. We wouldn't have to be on the back road, huh? If we had the right gear. And not only that, if we had the right gear, but if when we have it, do we use it? Are we willing? Are we willing to allow God to navigate us, to show us what we really don't know? A lot of times we think we know everything and we know nothing. We need someone like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need him in the plan. He needs to be there. Yeah. Huh? Many of us may not even use a compass. May not. We may not use a compass to assist us in navigations, in the navigation of our plan. But it is not to let Jesus in. It's disaster. If we have this wall up, if we have this huge fence up high, and we don't let him in, the walls will be down, and they will be down real soon. Only because we didn't allow him to come in. We didn't allow it. Yeah. We didn't allow it. We need to invite him in. We need him to sit in on our plans. Oh, yes. And, you know, many times when we have meetings and we hear people say, okay, well, we don't want to talk about Jesus. Can we keep Jesus out? No, we cannot keep him out because he is the center. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He's the center of our plans. Our plan is centered around him. Yeah, because we are a part of him. We move in him. He moves in us. We breathe. We live in him. We're not of ourselves. We don't operate alone. Oh, yeah. We don't do that. We don't. Yes. Having a covenant is a spiritual binding that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many teachers, many ministers are under a covenant agreement. I personally am under a covenant agreement with God. Yeah. And I know you say, well, how are you in under a covenant? Well, I can remember it just like it happened yesterday. I was really visiting someone's house. We were in the process of leaving, and we would grab hands, and we would actually get ready to pray as we were getting ready to get on the highway to journey back to our destination. And as we begin to pray, God began to open up to me. And when he opened up to me, he made it very plain and clear. Plain and clear. He said, you speak a word to my people, and I will take care of your people. Is that plain and simple? Is that plain? Yes. Plain covenant agreement. And I said, yes, Lord. And he takes care of my people. As I minister to his people, that is the agreement. Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that there are listeners, God, and doers of your word. We bless you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday. What a mighty God. And, of course, on Sundays with God's Favorite Ministries, we serve a true and a living God. Uh-huh. And we're in a covenant agreement. Yeah, we walk with him. It's a daily thing. It's a daily task that we do. We walk with him. We talk with him. We live. We breathe with him. Yeah. So we just want to thank you for taking the time out to listen to us. Thank you for learning more about having a godly plan. A godly plan in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray for that. Amen.